And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR. WWNR, Beckley.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock, as it always is when we begin another night's edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Welcome to all of you. The preliminaries, first of all, for this Tuesday night, 620-9967 at WWNR News Talk 620. Coming up, when we come out of our first, as far as I'm concerned, the pre-decent people, like us. A couple of things right off the bat. This man is, well, he's bat to the silliness. Again, I come in here some evenings and I think, well, I'm going to talk about that. But the powers that be are out there. And so how far away are we from the, about 17 months? Roughly 17 months until November of 2006, when Wallace, not far from the tree, wants to run against Robert Byrd. So what rolls across the fax machine but this? Dateline Washington, June 21st. Congressman Shelley Moore cabinet. Can we get God bless us? Congressman Shelley Moore wants Congress to take decisive action to protect the American flag from desecration. Okay, that'll work. From desecration by supporting an amendment to the U.S. Constitution protecting our nation's primary symbol of freedom and democracy. All right, you right-wing nuts, stand up out there. We got the national anthem going here. Stand up, hats off, hands over the heart. West Virginians know the colors red, white, and blue. Don't run, noted Capito. What the heck does that mean?
These colors don't run.
Well, the eye's no good and the rain falls hard enough. They certainly do. Protecting the American flag with the full force of the U.S. Constitution. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, take it down, Jesse. Take it down. Wait. This is the quote from Ms. Moore.
Protecting the American flag with the full force of the U.S. Constitution sends a strong message that Americans will always stand and fight for our flag just as we fight for our freedom.
Yeah, the colors don't run, but apparently the ink in the First Amendment does. I mean, I keep saying I think I'm going to get a little bit of respite from the amazement. Guns. So, hey, welcome to the 2006 election cycle. We still hate the gays, and the Democrats are going to take your flag. Now, why? Think of all the other things that might have been in this press release. Shelley Moore grows a spine and stands up against mountaintop removal. There's a start. Shelley Moore recants for having voted against full health care coverage for West Virginia's Guard and National Reserve soldiers. That would have been nice. Nope. She is, well, let's see, all she's got, we've got, are you offended by this? If you're operating with brains in your head, and you ought to be. Shelley Moore, protecting the flag Well, tell me, Shelley, when, honey, did you serve in the military? Because, you see, this isn't protecting the flag. What is it? HJ Res 10. That's not protecting the flag. That's demagoguing the flag. Oh, it is most assuredly demagoguing the flag. It's not protecting diddly. And it is actively spitting on the Constitution. You see, the flag stands for the Constitution. What matters? Right? Constitution embodies the freedom of speech and the freedom of worship and the freedom of assembly, the freedom not to have to quarter troops in your home, the freedom to have a jury trial, the freedom to be to confront your accuser in a criminal action. Hey, wait, and the freedom to keep an armed bears. That's there too. All kinds of cool freedoms are in the Constitution, but Shelley Moore wants to limit those freedoms so that she can protect cloth. Now, as far as flag burning is concerned myself, if I saw someone doing it, I would be inclined to stop it. And I think if you are going to engage in the outrageous conduct that is flag burning, because even someone who wants to burn one has got to admit that it's outrageous conduct. It is designed to inflame passions on either side. And anyone who does it has got to recognize that tender some pretty, pretty strong feelings. So knowing that, you know, I reserve the right to stop the burning of a flag, to march in and take the burning flag and go and do the decent thing with it once it's been desecrated. I reserve the right to do that. Now, bear in mind, all these wingnut freaks out there, these brave flag protectors, would not dare, because they are, in essence, cowards, wouldn't dare do what I just said I would do. But my God, look out. Here it comes. It's a freight train in the night. What we're going to get next 17 months.
Shelley Moore proudly moved to protect the flag of the United States. What did her opponent do? Where was he when she was moving to protect the flag?
Well, he wasn't in Congress. Or, well, he's done more to protect the flag, Senator Byrd has, than you will ever do in your life, you miserable. That's what. So let's take a break. Scott Vogel is waiting, and we'll have a little chat with him when we come back. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On. This weekend, two locations, Raleigh County Armory and the Bluefield Armory. It's the new sale of the century. Clothing, $10. Levi's, Calvin Klein, Polo, Ralph Lauren, Hilfiger, Echo, Sean John, Nike, Reebok, DKNY. More brand name clothing, just $10. Perfume, $19. Cool Water, Juke, Red Door, Versace Men's and Women's, Curve, CK, Issy, Miyake, Giorgio Red, Eternity, Burberry. Thousands of designer colognes and perfumes, $19. Listen to this. Nike, Reebok, Adidas, Skechers, Air, Puma. Thousands of shoes, just $10. Gucci, Chanel, Hilfiger, Armani, Versace, Ralph Lauren, and more. Designer sunglasses, just $19. Designer ladies' handbags, $10. Famous maker leather jackets, $29. Serving artists' artworks, from just $5. Seiko, Citizen, and Fossil watches, $29. Even gold and silver jewelry, costume jewelry, beautiful rings with precious gemstones at a fraction of their regular prices. Doors bust open at the Raleigh County Armory and the Bluefield Armory this Friday from 5 till 10 p.m., Saturday from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m., and Sunday from 11 till 5. Don't miss this event. Adult admission, $3. Children 12 and under, free.
Super Bank.
Yes, hello, I'd like to make a payment.
We're too busy to talk to you. In fact, since our time is more valuable than your time, let me give you a list of options to choose from. Press 1. If we lost your payment, press 2. If you'd like to hear about our Mega Bank One Size Fits All, you are not an individual banking option.
What?
Press 3. You'd like our address in New York.
I just want to send you a payment, please.
Annie here. Tired of the big bank runaround? At the Bank of Mount Hope, real hometown people answer the phone. They listen to you and they help you right away without the hassle. Imagine that. And the Bank of Mount Hope never sells its loans, so you'll never have to worry about the big, impersonal banks again. The Bank of Mount Hope, making banking easy. P.S. The Bank of Mount Hope is an equal housing lender. Member FDIC with locations in Beckley, Oak Hill, and Mount Hope.
When I wonder, I'm weightless, floating away, and all I think about is doing it again.
Michael Swan is under the influence of a volunteer swim coach. Spending a little time coaching, he helps Michael stay off drugs. Be a coach, a mentor, a volunteer. No matter what it is, you have something to offer. Log on to helpyourcommunity.org or call 877-KIDS-313 and be an influence on the kids in your community. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
He's got the heart of a conservative. Pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Yes, we can bomb most any plan.
Well, back. 19 minutes after so. Is, Bodle, editor at BuzzFlash.com, one of my... Good evening. Good evening, Scott.
Yeah, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. Yourself?
Thank you so much for inviting me on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I was emailing. Part of this came about was, I guess, one brother to someone I know, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, very honored for you to say so, and it's a pleasure to be on the show. I was listening to... good to hear that you wear your BuzzFlash hat with pride.
Oh, I do. I do indeed, and it was... Let me ask you real quick, Scott. Now, you're in Chicago.
Correct.
Okay. I live and die by BuzzFlash. Pick the headlines that really speak to the... is really pretty amazing. How it come to be?
It's a fascinating story. Back in the summer of 2000, Mark, who is the Mark Carlin, who's the founding editor of BuzzFlash,
Elvis,
as it were. He was frustrated, like great innovations in history. He was frustrated at the fact that there was an absence, a vacuum of progressive voices, specifically on the internet. And he was frustrated and thought to himself, "Well, why not me? No one else seems to be." Doing the kinds of things that I want to see happen. He felt that the progressive voice was not being put out there. And so he started a simple website, and believe it or not, it started with about 20 to 30 people who were checking it out. And over the last, 4 or 5 years, it has now grown to, I think we have 170,000 daily readers, over 5 million visitors per month. And that is a success story. We keep growing. We've even sponsored other websites such as Wings of Justice to honor progressive heroes and patriots who are fighting for our democracy.
Right.
We have GOPHypocrites.com trying to expose the rank hypocrisy in the right wing.
Yeah, folks,
what it shows is that people, progressives, we do have the ability through perseverance to build our independent media, to build the progressive infrastructure. Radio shows like yours are very important. I can't stress this enough. We cannot rely on the mainstream media to tell us the truth. We have to be proactive. We have to have radio shows like yours. It's absolutely vital. We have to have websites like BuzzFlash. Otherwise, we're not going to turn this turn things around.
I think you're absolutely right, Scott. Trivia: I first got turned on to you guys, BartCop.com.
Sure.
Early on, he was. So you've got as far as the structure itself at Buzz, you are not per se a commercial site. Is that correct?
That's correct. We do not accept any type of advertising. We rely solely on the support of our readers and people who appreciate what it is that we do, and that's something that we wear with pride. You know, a lot of times people will ask us, "Well, who is BuzzFlash? Why, who are you, and why don't you put your names on this or that?" And it's not that we're hiding. We're based in Chicago, Illinois. We don't hide. But one of the things that we do not like is how the news media has turned into such a celebrity focus.
Right.
Frankly, we don't want to be the center of attention. We want the issues that we care about to be talked about, not us as personalities. We don't want to be pundits. We want important issues such as what's going on in Guantanamo Bay and Iraq, the appalling lack of services in our education and healthcare in this country. I mean, we think those are important. We don't want to become pundits, and it's one of the things that the mainstream media has descended into, is not talking about real issues that affect real people's lives.
Well, another one of the beauties, though, is that
Yeah. I think, you know, the bottom line is this. We approach the news, you know, our logo has sort of a balloon and it says buzzflash.com.
Right.
And the way we look at it is this. People can get their information from any number of sources. And what they come to us for is our perspective and our take on the news. One of the things I've done several, we do lots of interviews on the site, and I do many of them. And one of the things that's interesting about the current state of journalism is a journalist can, well, just reprint a White House or Defense Department press release. They'll even do the right thing, getting second and third approval on various points of information, even if it's a lie. They'll reprint the lie and expect some other Democrat or some other talking head or pundit to say that this is true, this is not true, and what have you. We try to see through the headline immediately and not even give the White House spin or the hypocrisy its due. I mean, we call it as we see it, we're straight shooters, and lots of people, I think, appreciate that.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And you guys write some beauties. who does the headlines?
Say that again?
Who writes the headlines?
We have a few. We have several editors who write the headlines. I myself don't get to so much. A lot of what I do is either research or writing editorials or doing interviews. But it's a pretty fun job, and it can be frustrating too. And I think in some ways part of that frustration comes out in our headlines, the way that people, the mainstream press, sometimes even Democrats, the way they look at an issue. Let's take the hot news item today, Senator Durbin here in Illinois, who was trying to bring attention and focus to torture and abuse at Guantanamo Bay.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, the fact that he was bringing it to everyone, to the attention, to the forefront, that's been pushed to the side, and his comments have been distorted, and now suddenly there's a feeding frenzy going on right now.
Oh, there's definitely blood in the water.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
And now he's capitulated.
And so in some ways, when you read that, you know, I have to say, when we're here at the office, every once in a while, almost on the hour, one of us just, you know, flies off the wall and just can't believe what it is that we're seeing and what we're reading. And so we try to channel some of that energy and some of that irreverence into the site, and I think people appreciate it.
Well, it's a lot of fun, Scott, because I was just asking. Because that's one of my, you know, they have the occasional snarky little headline, and it'll be followed by just asking.
Absolutely. And, well, and I think that's a very good point. It's, you know, look, we've gotten to the point now where we have press conferences sponsored by the White House, which aren't press conferences. Reporters have to submit questions in advance. There are no follow-up questions at some of these events. We have the president goes to town hall meetings to tout privatizing Social Security, and they vet people who can get into those events. And
yeah,
at one point,
you...
as we've followed in Denver, Colorado, with the infamous Denver 3,
right,
is people who are preemptively removed.
By artificial secret service agents.
By artificial secret service agents, you know. So, I mean, that's part of our, I think part of the inside joke we have is why aren't other people asking these questions? Why has the media allowed themselves to be played like a flute, as it were, and not do their job?
And God forbid, we should mention the fact that the leader bees have the questions, says the Soviet Union. We can't do that now, can we, Scott?
Right.
You know, or maybe, you know, maybe Scott McClellan or Rush Limbaugh or Matt Drudge or, in fact, the entire right-wing phone will just get all twisted.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that is the one point I want to impress upon your listeners, and that is the power of an echo chamber. We, as progressives, simply need to do a better job of building our infrastructure. We need radio programs like yours. We need the ability to talk about the issues we think are important. You know, one of the things, sort of, forgive me if I'm going on a soapbox, but...
No, go right ahead.
One of the...
We've got a lot of them later.
What did you expect
here?
When you've got an editor from BuzzFlash on? You know, one of the things I think that progressives should think about doing is to look at what the Republicans did back after 1964, after the Goldwater debacle. They looked at the situation and said, we have got to do something to promote our policies, the things we believe in, something I completely disagree with, but nonetheless, they looked at it from a strategic point of view, and they said, we've got to have our own media. We're just now getting to that point. And what I would like to see, and I know, you know, we work hard, you work hard, people are working harder than ever and falling behind. in America right now. What we need to consider doing is some type of system where progressives and working people start to pool our resources, our
Absolutely.
Money, our time and energy, support radio programs like yours. We need to build the progressive infrastructure, turn things around. Because I know sometimes people accuse us of being alarmist, but we see it as telling the truth. Things are going poorly in America and
yeah,
in the world right now.
And Scott, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I really enjoy the conversation.
You can take as much time of mine as you want. I'm open.
Okay, fine. I'm gonna cheat on the bottom of the hour break. We talked about your premiums and the fact that you are. I have lately come up with this notion that we have got to have a different paradigm for progressive media, for progressive talk, for progressive thought than what is already out there, and that might actually, I listen to Rush Flimball. I listen to him, and I know that the dude is making $25 million a year, okay? And all I hear on his program are commercials for mattresses and herbal sex remedies, okay? I can't figure out how that translates into just for him, let alone the network.
Right.
Okay? So I think if we think that we're going to go out there and sell mattresses and gold coins and all the other goofy claptrap that populates right-wing talk radio, you very seldom hear an ad for soup. But they got lots of mattresses and baldness remedies and if it lasts. To that end, Is it possible for us to approach it this standard commercial paradigm?
I think there's lots of ways to approach it, and I think all options should be on the table. The most important is that we see the need and the urgency to build the infrastructure. I think that there's a positive. How great would it be? Could you imagine if a million progressives, and I'm not using this word in any type of offensive way in the religious sense that it's often used, if they tithed to the extent that they gave maybe not 10%, but a certain percentage of their income and dedicated that to various progressive causes with the goal of building an infrastructure that will help affect information and perception to create the world, the sustainable world, the just world that we want to live in. I think the other thing progressives can think about doing is, we are a large consumer block, and that might mean holding companies that support right-wing zealots and hypocrites accountable and as much as us forming our own coalitions and whatnot and supporting organizations and various radio programs and websites. I mean, I think all options are on the table. And there might even be other, family foundations to the extent that they can. Obviously, they're limited in some of the political work that they can do.
Right.
But that's one of the problems on the left is that we oftentimes tend to expend lots of resources internationally, which is fantastic. We need to do more with human rights and aid the right places. But the right wing knows, and they focus their energy internally, building their infrastructure, because that is so important. They're able to control the debate. They're able to demonize all federal programs as wasteful, corrupt. But if a corporation fleeces the government or their employees or the board or,
Yeah, that's good business.
They're just bad apples, right? They're a couple of bad apples.
Yeah,
and yet, you talk about giving education. Any student in West Virginia who graduates above a certain GPA or whatever, who can go to a state school for free, what a great incentive and a benefit to working families in West Virginia. Suddenly, that's a corrupt, wasteful program.
Oh,
they've been
sure,
able
yeah.
to control the debate and handcuff us.
Exactly. And, I've long said, gotten us talking about either raising the retirement age. We've already lost. In many ways, we've already lost on that, because what we as progressives ought to be talking about is why a human being in the United States busted his or her hump for 40 years doesn't get to knock off and say, honey, I'm done, when he's 59 and get
right.
$2,000 a month and have his health care taken care of.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it was one of the best things I ever heard. What, if you work hard in America, you should not be falling behind. If you put in an honest day's work, you should not be having to scrape by. And that is sadly typical. We're seeing how the middle class is being squeezed over and over again. Let's take another great example. Let's take the Iraq war and occupation. Could you imagine if you took one day of the amount of money that is spent and allocated for that adventure out in Iraq and applied it to, gave it to West Virginia and said, here, address some of the environmental challenges that the state has. Address some health care issues. Address education.
Well, you know,
early childhood education. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of funny to me the way that there's enough money to do anything else, any military adventure, any invasion, any occupation, any misguided effort on the war on terror, but not a penny for anything that would help working people.
Right. Well, you know, we're not worth it. But you're absolutely right. What are we spending? Something around $1 billion a day?
Unbelievable.
You know, on Iraq. And yet, here we are, and I know you're in Chicago. I'm here. This Saturday, we're being asked to go to the polls and a $5.5 billion in debt over the next, that, you know, the taxpayers are going to have to carry here in West Virginia. Yet, we spend that in this adventure in Iraq.
That's right. And I think that, again, just to come back to, it's that a bit, why aren't more people having this discussion? Why aren't more editorial boards and more columnists writing about this? Why isn't this news? I mean, this is news. This is an important issue. It's the fact that these issues have been pushed aside by, frankly, the mainstream media, that they just don't see it important. Now, granted, let me say this. Part of the issue is that it's the situation in Iraq has gotten so bad that there's a fire going on and that they're trying to put it out, and that immediately pushes other long-term and systemic issues to the side. But but more to the point, you know, the problem is that we are going in the wrong direction. I mean, as a country, I mean, look at the approval ratings of people like, you know, President Bush. They're not good for someone who's won a second term, and he's only in the first year of a second term. So, you know, these are the kinds of issues that, you know, we try to address on BuzzFlash, and nobody likes a grouch, and we do try to have as much as we can some fun with it. We do get frustrated with it. But we also try to reach people and move them, get them to understand this is something to be angry about. You should feel justified in your anger. I think that's another key point that our readers tell us over and over again. They said, oh, thank you so much. I can't believe that I found you. I can't believe that there's a community of people who feel the way I feel. I thought I was all alone.
Exactly.
And we're not alone.
And Scott, that's a manufactured aloneness.
Right.
It's absolutely a manufactured aloneness because I tend to believe that there are, you know, more, you know, we're, in, I've said before, we're, and your neighbor's sitting there thinking the same thing. Both turn on the TV. And instead, what, Nancy Grace declared that Michael Jackson, I mean, it's, there's several of you, so, you know, maybe you're the Beatles. But I wish you all the best in the world. Just out of curiosity, what kind of premiums are out there these days?
We've got, there are several. Some of my personal favorites, there is a volume that we're selling called It Can Happen Here. It's by George Lowe is the author's name, about possibilities of a theocracy in this country, of a fascist in America, and efforts and quotes by various people who want to realize that. Some of our other ones that I think are very interesting are, there's a book written by a gentleman named Robert Papp. It's about it's called The Dying to Win, The Strategic Logic of Suicide Terrorism, for example, and how the Department of Defense, as well as the Bush administration, has failed to understand part of the problem in Iraq, why people are using suicide terrorism. It also debunks a lot of misperceptions about suicide terrorism. A lot of people identify purely as a Middle Eastern phenomenon or something that only someone of Arabian descent would do, and that's actually not the case. There's another volume that it's a lot of fun, which is called, it's a reader by Clint Willis called The I Hate and Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh, Michael Savage, Sean Hannity book. A lot of right-wing vitriol that he collects.
Well, and of course, all anyone needs. Not like you got to be a member, is it?
Absolutely not. We are welcome to anyone and everyone who, we believe in the free flow of information. We believe in robust debate. Everything that the right wing is against.
Right.
So we welcome anybody and everybody. And please to also join our mailbag. Send in letters. We have, we believe in democracy. We believe in people sharing with us. Very lively, place for a litany of progressive and independent voices.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope maybe we can talk again sometime.
I hope so, Bob. Thank you so much for having us on.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye.
Scott Vogel of, really, I mean, he's an Elvis to me. Now, it's the site up. Thing is, this stuff, they don't just look at it and throw it on the site. They read it. And something is just blinking, find out. But again, it's an opportunity to make your mind up for yourself. It's about you, and it's about what you can find out for the Buzz Flash plate. And we'll come back on. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A Charleston man has been charged with killing his mother's new husband. Police say Dante Garrett grabbed his baby out of his new father-in-law's arms and then shot him walking with the baby. While two women argued in the Kanawha City apartment, Charleston Police Sergeant Steve Cooper says Garrett ran into another apartment after the shooting. When police came, Mercer County optometrist says he'll challenge Robert Byrd for his seat in the U.S. Senate next year. Great respect and admiration for Senator Byrd. He says it's time for new leadership. Lawhorn says to be a Republican senator. Lawhorn owns Linder Mansion, will visit several West Virginia counties today, Raleigh, Marion, and this evening in Berkeley County. The funeral of a congressional candidate who was killed in a car accident last week is scheduled for tonight. Old Tom Easterly was killed when both drivers died at the scene. The funeral service officials with the town of Hinton say they would like to present the city as a showplace community, so they called Hinton 2010 Planning for the Future. It features input from Bill Matthews, says the plan will focus on retirees, a $38 tourism in the future. News now, here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. A slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Most of them should be in or out of the area by around 9 or 10 o'clock. The rest of the night will be partly cloudy, upper 50s. Tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms mostly in early morning, and then partly cloudy the rest of the day with a high near. Saturday, we really start to warm up, mostly sunny, will be partly cloudy with temperatures in the mid. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
The Tech Winfrey for millions. In court by her side stood a burly, balding man. His story next on Biography for Radio.
When you take 15 girls hiking, you've got to stay alert, even with bad allergies. Hey, stay together! Now I'm Claritin Clear. Only Claritin has proven to make me as alert and focused as someone without allergies. Claritin gives me 24-hour non-drowsy relief from my worst symptoms like sneezing, runny nose, and itchy eyes. No cell phones in hiking. Stay focused. Live Claritin Clear.
Try Claritin Ready Tabs free. Go to Claritin.com or text message 24CLR. Only brand clinically tested. Use as directed.
The psychologist was hired by Oprah to help her defeat the Cattleman's lawsuit. They were suing the television star for slander because she swore off hamburgers during the mad cow disease scare. Oprah was nervous, almost in tears. The 6'4" psychologist told her to toughen up or she would lose out big time. She pulled herself together and not only won the case, but found a new guest for her show. It was the start of a dazzling television career for the Texas psychologist. But he'd not always had such luck. His first business, a health spa, and his first marriage to a high school sweetheart, both failed after just 2 years. But after that faltering start, he rocketed ahead. He got a PhD in psychology and built up a business advising lawyers. Once he became a regular on the Oprah Winfrey Show, he delighted audiences with his blunt honesty. By 2002, the avid golfer and scuba diver had his own television show and 5 bestsellers to his name. He's also been married for nearly 3 decades. A master of the cold truths about love, marriage, and money, he is television counselor, Dr. Phil McGraw. For Biography, I'm Lawrence Scott.
Biography is a trademark of A&D.
From the National Institutes of Health, this is HealthBeat. Research conducted at the National Institutes of Health has been the first to yield medical advances in many areas, such as the first cure of a solid tumor with chemotherapy and the first use of AZT to treat AIDS. Just a few short months ago, the NIH scored another first by opening the 870,000-square-foot Mark O. Hatfield Clinical Research Center. One of its major goals is to ensure that discoveries in the laboratory by NIH researchers quickly become treatments for patients across America. NIH Director, Dr. Elias Zerhouni.
The Mark O. Hatfield Clinical Research Center is truly unique. It's unique in the nation because it's the only hospital that is completely dedicated. In this hospital, we've been able, thanks to the support of the American public and Congress, to put together the most advanced research facilities next to patients who will benefit from this research.
For more information, visit clinicalcenter.nih.gov. I'm Phil Stevenson for HealthBeat.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
All right, welcome back. Sorry about the late break, but it is. Look, you know, we just try to be polite. Coming up on 10 minutes before the hour. There, Mary Lou? Mary Lou, there you are.
Do you hear me, Bob?
Got you now.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, what I'm from possibly about it, I'm done. Wasn't he a lot of fun?
No, and I don't like that.
Yeah, a lot of that's a great point, Mary Lou, because a lot of people think, you know, you're laying there on the couch talking to Dr. Freud. Psychiatrists anymore are just pill rollers, aren't they?
Well,
I
said what I like as psychologists because they,
right.
And to me, that's the most important thing of all.
We're a medicated nation.
A bottle is not the answer to nothing.
Yeah,
a
bottle of anything.
No.
Absolutely. I'm trying to get my hands on one right now. I look
forward
to reading it.
Well, I'll see if I can help you get one.
Well, I appreciate that.
Now, Bob, I also want to... how do you feel about it? Can I bring that up?
You absolutely can. I'm against it, Mary Lou.
Well, Bob?
Yes, I am.
Would you mind?
I am not against it for some of the other reasons. I look at it from the standpoint of my family and kids, and I don't believe it's fair for a bunch of people whose careers aren't going to last. They are going to be indebted, and frankly, Mary Lou, the capita debt for the state of for every West Virginian, if this bond issue passes,
but
from little bitty babies
pass,
to old people.
If it don't pass, Bob, what are you talking about? If it don't pass, everybody's taxes.
Are they? Is he actually coming out and saying that now?
Yes.
That taxes will go up if it doesn't
pass?
If
it don't pass.
Well, you know what? We have control over whether or not taxes go up, and we have, and that happens at the ballot box. Now, the other side of this, however, Mary Lou, is that if it passes and the market goes in the tank, really, really in a bind then.
Bob, if the market goes in the tank.
Right, but the thing is, everything won't be gone, Mary Lou, because...
Bob, it will mean jobs.
...business about if the market goes in the tank, everything you have to remember is what won't be gone if the market bond debt, and we will still have to service one way or the other because bondholders don't let you out of your...
No.
It's like credit card debt.
Oh, no, it won't. They will triple. And I hate for the elderly to have to have.
I do too. I do too.
You know,
and again.
I don't really know how I feel about it.
Well, I really feel like I have no choice in this. I've read, you know, threatening stuff. Taxes are going to go up. What I need to know about these bonds is why are we going to pay lawyers $55 million? Exactly how they plan to invest this in the. I need to know why they feel like they need to invest this in the. If I came to you and I said, I owe me $2,000 because I want to go play.
Well, if we were on vacation.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing.
You wouldn't win nothing, probably.
Right. What we're doing here is we're gambling with the rent money. That's the way I see it.
But, yeah, something's got to be done. Well, I don't know. I don't know how to feel.
No. No. I'm gone.
Well, that's terrible, Bob.
Because
you did have the best show, as far as I was concerned. I don't know. He drew up.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Sure he did. But then again, I read what he said to the rat really, really did poison the well for me. And said, if you're poor enough, you get the best health care in the world. That just made the little hairs on the back of me. I never wondered where the next dollar was coming
from
and who had ever had to struggle for anything.
That's where he's too. I think he's going to find some job. Time for that, too.
Well, but the thing is, believe me, the poor are working their butts off. They're working two and three jobs. It shows me that he has strayed a long
way. Well, that's true, too. That's very... Well, I think, Grandpa and maybe.
Well, it's...
Because he says if you do, you never get it.
Well, it's designed to pass. That's why we're having it on a Saturday in June.
So many people gone on vacation. I just happened to be gone a little bit early.
They don't want a high voter turnout on this one because a high voter turnout means they lose.
Although I say the voter turnout fairly medium. I really do.
Well, I think they'll get a decent turnout because they'll get the teachers. But that's the thing, Mary Lou. Something has been done. Disciplined enough to follow. We've followed it since 1994.
Because of the debt.
Well, there's debt in the future. but roughly the same as what they're talking about us paying. Mary Lou, awfully good hearing from you. And again, I'm here, so by all means, don't be a stranger, okay?
Oh, I won't, Bob, and I'll have everybody.
Thank you, Mary Lou.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Listen, it's time for our top of the hour break. When we come back, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Across America, local broadcasters are an active part of their communities, providing...
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving.
Mm.
And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt in my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
All right, welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. Head On, Bob Kincaid, that would be me. But let's go straight to the phones. Chris has been waiting a while. Hey, Chris, you're Head On. Thanks for waiting, man. Chris? Yeah, there you are. Chris? Hold on here. Let's see if we can make this work a little bit better. Is that any better, Chris? Hey, Chris. Yo, Chris. Okay, Chris, I don't know if you can hear me or not, but... okay, the music's gone. Is that better?
Not that it wasn't good music.
I understand. I understand. There's some little creature living in this board that... We think it's turned off, and it's not turned off.
Okay. Scott said it. He said it. Celebrity. He said it.
Yes,
I
he did.
Wrote about that the other night.
Yeah, celebrity, the idea of the messenger is the message, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And they do incredibly good work. I love Buzzflash. You turned me on to that site, and I'm so thankful.
Well, it's so much easier than wading through the stupidity at the Drudge Report or... Because, you know, that stuff's so right-wing oriented.
The only thing the Drudge Report is good for is it provides links.
Yeah, and it's good. Well, it's good to see how the enemy is thinking as well.
Oh, I love to go and read Bill O'Reilly and Ann Coulter stuff.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. I mean, if I want to see Nazi propaganda, you know, in the year 2000.
Oh, and it is what it is in its rarest form. There's no end, Chris, to the. Well, I mean, the Hillary book that's coming out by this Klein guy.
Oh, I love that photo that Drudge photocopied. That he did the Photoshop thing and made it look like that girl was kissing Bill.
Yeah.
But they're actually like, you know, several feet away from each other.
And that's the thing. You know, we come to the fight with a few facts. We come to the fight with a few opinions that are, you know, oddly enough, based on facts. And the next thing you know, well, the other side's just making it up as they go along. And I didn't get a chance to ask Scott about this or not, but they finally, I guess, got the thumbscrews out or something and made Dick Durbin apologize today, and that just makes me crazy. The man had nothing to apologize for.
Absolutely not.
But,
well, I mean, that just shows that he's buckled under the pressure.
Well, and then, of course, you weren't here for it, but today on the satellite program that we run in Dr. Bill's absence, the guy covering, or the guy that we ran, used an obscenity that I can't recall if I've ever used, maybe once. But he used it 3 times in 1 minute. And again, it goes back, you know, if I said that kind of thing on the air, I'd be taken off the air. Wait a minute.
Don't go there.
No, I'm kidding. But no, but the thing is, there is a double standard, Chris. They get to, we don't.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like I wrote in my piece last night. Been letting the right wing tell us what to say for too long.
Absolutely. If we
and
don't,
they get a, they start an argument and they make a statement that we should argue with them on whatever they want to talk about, and that has nothing to do.
Right. You know, start with why aren't all of them? You know, never mind. We got to piratize it. Never mind. We need to raise the retirement age. Why aren't all Americans paying into Social Security? Why can an American worker not retire at 60 on enough to live on and have his doctor bills paid for and get his medicine? Why, you know, wait a minute, what, when you listen to the, this is the best country in the world and it's one of the wealthiest countries in the world. Well, why can't we spend some of that wealth on the people that created it in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. The Democratic Party of today resembles more of a new conservative party, a slightly watered-down version of compassionate conservatives.
Well, and that's been the whole game. You know, if they if they've got us talking about their stuff, we're done. And so, I don't necessarily think there's an urge to kill off the Democratic Party, just an urge to make
No. They won't even attempt to kill off the Democratic Party. It's serving them too well.
Exactly. You know, the few progressives out there that they can whip on from time to time, when in fact the entire nation is progressive in nature. The entire nation wants people to not be hungry. The entire nation wants everyone to have a roof over their head.
Absolutely.
The entire nation
Absolutely.
Wants everyone not to be poisoned by the air they breathe, the water they drink.
Yeah.
So you ask them time after time, absolutely, I'm for that. Well, that's a liberal policy. Satan.
Yeah, it's like with the war in Iraq and the war in Vietnam, like I wrote, do you really think the right wing had any concern for the poor Vietnamese, the poor Iraqis, or the poor Panama, Grenada? No.
No.
Absolutely not. They could care.
Or Somalia, and up here, we had one of those great moments in right-wing stupidity printed in the newspaper not too long back. I think it was in the local paper. Maybe it was in the state newspaper, the Gazette, where some guy wrote in about how Bill Clinton's great folly of sending our troops into Somalia, and where was the liberal press when he was doing that? You know, poor darn fool. How can you carry on a conversation with these kind of people when they won't even deal with the facts?
No.
Who sent it? Because you know who sent the troops into Somalia?
Don't talk to them.
You know,
Don't talk to them. That's what I say. Don't talk to them. They sit there and they want to present an argument like that as ignorant. Don't talk to them.
Yeah, but what if
they want you to talk to them?
No,
but
sometimes, sometimes, Chris, it's worth it because you get to look at them and you say, "Oh, by the way, knucklehead, Daddy Bush sent the troops to Somalia."
Oh, absolutely, he did.
And then they go, "That's liberal media talk." No, those are just facts, you faith. Based ninny.
Yeah.
You know, well, Bill Clinton sent the troops to Somalia because I believe Bill Clinton sent the troops to Somalia.
Absolutely. You cannot convince a right-wing...
I didn't coin it. It's not mine, so you're welcome to it.
Wingnut is... You cannot confront them with facts because they will not believe it. So everybody knows somebody where you can go up to them and you can tell them... Hey, you know, I'll go up to them and say, it's raining outside. They will get up, walk over to where the wind is, and look for themselves.
Oh, no. When you're dealing with a wingnut, Chris, he opens the door, runs out, goes, jumps off the porch, stands there and gets soaking wet and comes in and tell you, mighty dry out there.
Yeah.
That's the liberal media telling you that it's raining.
Well, it's like I wrote in this piece, there's three kinds of conservatives. There's the ones that are the close party members. They're the ones that are born into it and never look back, and the third is the propagandists. Ones that go, I believe Bill Clinton sent them there.
Yep. Rush said it, I believe it, that says
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely, Rush said it. So, just like that CCR song.
Chris, we got to take our break. Always good to talk to you, man.
Hang in there, bud.
All right, take it easy. I believe it, that settles it. Oh, no, that was God. Let's take our break, come back, more of your phone calls. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On. this weekend. Two locations, Raleigh County Armory and the Bluefield Armory. It's the new sale of the century. Full-size gas grills, $49. Igloo Playmate 16-quart coolers, $5. Sharp whole room air conditioners, $69. Listen to this. DVD players, $19. VCRs, $19. Webcams, $10. Three-piece luggage sets, $39. Black & Decker cordless screwdrivers, just $9. Black & Decker cordless drills, $19. Even DeWalt and thousands of tools to 70% off. There's more. Black & Decker irons, 5-speed mixers and coffee makers, $5. Color TVs with remote, $49. Compaq, HP, Dell, Gateway, IBM, and Toshiba computers from $99. Sony, JVC, Kenwood, Alpine, Fosgate, Audubon, Clarion, Rockwood, and more. Home stereos, car stereos, CD players, subwoofers, amps, speakers, and more to 70% off. Doors bust open at the Raleigh County Armory at the Bluefield Armory this Friday from 5 till 10 p.m., Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sunday from 11 till 5. The Bluefield Armory and the Raleigh County Armory. This weekend only. Adult admission $3. Children 12 and under free.
Why settle? Why settle for just 60 channels when Charter gives you more than 90 digital channels plus all your local channels on two TVs for just $29.99 a month? Charter Digital offers up something for everyone in the family. Over a dozen commercial-free movie channels. You'll also receive 45 digital music channels. And Charter Digital gives you access to Charter On Demand, HDTV, and digital video recording. So don't wait. Call 1-888-GET-CHARTER. Programming and services may not be available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply. Prices guaranteed for 12 months. High-speed internet price guaranteed for 3 months.
It's the Greater Beckley Home Tour, presented by the Raleigh County Chamber of Commerce this Saturday. Ticket price is just $20. Get your tickets now at the Chamber of Commerce or Raiders Fabric and Decorating, 339 Roll Acres Drive. Saturday's schedule includes a continental breakfast, 5 homes on tour, seminars, and lunch. Sponsors include Glade Springs Hotel and Conference Resort, Kroger, Cooper Land Development, Beckley Newspaper, and this Southern Communications Radio Station. It's the Greater Beckley Home Tour, presented by the Raleigh County Chamber of Commerce this Saturday. For more details, call 252-7320.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 17 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock. Listen, about 175 protesters gathered at Kentucky Park Dining. At one point, the protesters offered a dinner, this is the fun part, of coal slurry to the Kentucky Coal Association's president. Someone's been listening. Mountain Justice Summer, God bless him. Patsy's daughter, you might remember, was coal truck was overweight. It keeps the lights on in West Virginia's fuel. So 150 mouth-breathing knuckle walkers showed up, opposed the decent people, who, as the story says, four of the protesters went up to Kentucky Coal Association President Bill Big Bowl of Coal Slurry. You know, come Easter, I like to have me one of them cadmium cream eggs. Mercury. Oddly enough, he didn't feel confident enough about its safety. Let's see. We got Jeff. Hey, Jeff, you're head on.
Hello?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Doing good, you?
Fine. I was going to talk about the pension bond amendment.
Yeah, go ahead.
And it's there.
Go right ahead.
Mary Lou went and seen about all kinds of one-sided things about it, and people just really aren't totally into it and can really feel and hear through what he's saying. And when they use words like a refinancing, there is no refinance.
Well, no. Didn't the Supreme Court specifically hold that, Jeff, that it was not a refinancing?
That's new debt. That's why they had to do a bunch of other stuff to get to this point, because it used to be against West Virginia's Constitution to do this, didn't it?
Well, it still is. That's why we have to amend the Constitution. Do you want the bond?
Okay.
Will you change the Constitution to permit it?
It was against the Constitution to invest the money in the stock market.
That's correct.
And that was the Claus versus Bailey case, right?
Right.
You remember that?
Yes, I do. I remember it very well, as a matter of fact.
Huh?
I remember it very well, as a matter of fact.
When he says we will save, no, they don't. When she's talking about how we have to get these payments, these retirement payments, at a level even $350 million. That's just spurting stuff, something out, and people not really understanding what that means.
I do kind of understand it, Jeff.
Have you seen a chart of how the payments, for the next 5 years, they only go up $50 million in 5 years? To our general revenue fund, something going up that much isn't really that much at all. When you count in inflation, that's really a cut. I mean, I've heard many, many, many representatives and senators a 1% increase in a federal program as a cut because it didn't go up the rate of inflation. And then the five-year, $50 million increase the next 5 years of the payments to the retirement fund, that's not keeping up with inflation.
Well, down the road.
724 in 2034.
Right.
We borrow that money, we still, in the year 2034, are projected to write somebody a check for $724 million. If we borrow this money, that 724 doesn't just go poof into 350.
No, it doesn't.
The savings, the money they're talking about, is they're guesstimating that we're going to snowball 7.5%, 7.5%, 7.5% in there for 30 years, and by then, everything that the other increases up till then haven't eaten, we're going to have $400 million left over.
Well, I tell you, Jeff,
you understand
one of the,
what I'm
saying? I do sincerely understand what you're constantly hearing, this word savings, because they are using the word savings the way the grocery store uses the word savings. They say, you know, Tide on sale for $5.55, save 90 cents. Well, you still spent the $5.55, you didn't save 90 cents. They didn't give you 90 cents.
No.
And you're still paying above wholesale. You're still paying retail.
Not,
do you understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah, exactly. I just am not so comfortable him running around saying we will save and this is a refinancing. It isn't finance to begin. All the money they talk about in financing and interest that we're losing, do you know what that is? You know how they come to that? How they come up with this big, they say losing interest on all that money, that all these monies up in the next 29 years that we're, it's unfunded. They're talking about this interest. The interest that we're losing is interest we would be earning on that money if we had it.
Right.
That's like saying that your house payment for the next 20 years, you're losing a fortune on it because you don't have it now. Really, you are paying interest on that.
Well, sure. And anybody who, I mean, look at the, what's the, you know, we borrow $5.5 billion. What do we pay? You know, you use the mortgage.
Oh.
What's the interest debt amortized over 30 years?
Percentage or total?
Total. I want to know dollars.
Oh, God. If 30 years.
You know, for instance, when you borrow $250,000, by year 30, you will have paid.
Usually it's a little over double on 30 years. I found.
Picking on you, I want to know where the number is. Interest on this debt over 30 years.
It's going to be close to 11. They're going to hand us, if we choose to take the whole $5.5 billion, where they're going to hand us that money, and over time it'll be over 11. But not real sure exactly what the payment would be. It'll be anywhere between 350. The two numbers I've seen are anywhere between 350 and 383 million. Nobody really does honestly know, but I've got a newspaper from January 25th. It's the day after the State of the State address, and they were saying 5.7% interest on January 25th. Still saying it.
Yeah, and
so that's my
back then, Jeff. Weren't we also supposed to be having this?
That was supposed to be in the fall, and they bumped it up probably because the interest rates are going up. Already, he said that he won't do it if it's over 6, and if we don't rush it up. It's going to be over 6, and he's going to have another big one. Because, you know, and the thing that hurts, too, is the judges' pay raises, because he said he wasn't going to do that, and then he went ahead and done it anyway. And we...
But don't we have a promise that that's going to be fixed?
Well, he's going to go back and think about it some more. Judges' pay raises? go back and redo them?
Yeah.
And make them smaller?
Yeah.
I've heard on Hoppy's show a couple times that they might can revisit that. And I think, too, the... what is those... The certain type of employees in the state.
Civil service?
Is that what there are? Civil service employees in West Virginia? I think they took that part back.
Okay, because, well, like...
Those people, I think that part of it might have... But still, you know, when he's trying to push a big bond like this and doling out raises.
Well, yeah, it was offensive. I can find 6 dozen reasons not to support, not the least of which is the fact that there are a bunch of...
And plus, we went back and redone this, like you said... Mary Lou 10 years ago, and we come up with the plan we're at now, right?
Right.
In 94, and it's worked fine till now. We already fixed this. This is the fix. This is what we settled on.
And
the
we have done
it. People that are down there.
And we have done it without indebting children who have never worked a day in...
But, you know, we talk about how the teachers, you know, they are promising, they're rallying the troops, telling all these guys to go out and vote for it so you get your pay raises. But
where's the promise in that? And what are they going to do after they're going to do
it? If the pension bond goes through, they will get it.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there, and you know, there's another thing that I've been...
And you want me to tell you how and why?
Well, just wait a minute. The other thing, I've looked around, I can't find anything in...
Well, that might be the case, but as I said to Dr. Bill yesterday, you'll hear a lot of people use excuses why so-and-so's for it, so I'm against it. So-and-so's against it, so I'm for it. Well, they're just going to bring it up over and over, so you might as well... I don't care if they bring it up 1,000 times, I'm voting for it because it's a bad idea this time. If it's next time... We'll look at the new numbers, and then we'll see what. But you know, you vote on each issue for the merits of the issue. And it doesn't matter if they do bring it up over and over.
But doesn't it tell you something that they're not willing to tell you something?
Like November 06?
Yeah.
Well, because they want that certain, that's the closest thing to buying an election.
Well,
legalized
aren't they?
That we
aren't,
have.
Don't you think they're also scared to death?
Pay raises thing, and this is why with the big deal why they want to pass this thing. They can pass this and get that money in there. All the X that up. They can do anything.
That's not going to go to workers' comp?
We done fixed that. It's over. We're putting $50 million out of the general revenue, 10 or 15 out of the tobacco sales.
I know, but if they've got extra...
I'd go for that. I'll tell you something else Joe Manchin did. I don't know if you realized or not. Like the 224, 250, whatever the extra million over surplus we had from the lottery and the coal money.
Yeah.
They put every bit of that in the state policeman's retirement fund pensions. They said there's two of them. I don't know how many pensions people have, but...
Well, no, there's two. It's not that each individual... one was in terrible,
defined
terrible...
Defined benefits and defined contributions?
Not necessarily. One was in terrible, terrible... But we're out of time, Jeff. I appreciate your input on this. This is...
Could I just tell you one quick thing, real
yeah,
quick?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Please. Took all that money and put it in the state policeman's thing, but if they would have took $38 million of that, Washington, D.C., the feds would have sent $156 million back to Medicaid. We turned down. We refinanced road bonds to save $18.4 million, and with that $18 million, we sent it straight to Washington. Why? Because they would federally match it with
Well,
money.
Did you read the article in Sunday's paper, Jeff?
About Manchin?
Yeah, the Manchin.
Medicaid, the poor?
Yeah.
Yeah, I read that.
And what he said about the...
He sent that $18 million back for a one-to-one match. But we won't send Medicaid back for a 3-to-1 match. I know a blind old man in a wheelchair that lost his Medicaid.
Yeah, could have used it. Might have been good for it.
$38 million. You know, let me hand you $38, and you hand me back $156. Who come out ahead?
No, but
now the feds. If the feds have some blame too, so have $200 million laying there. Well, let's see what we want to do this.
I know.
You know, I would have supported, you know, you let me run over a little bit. I'm going to let you go.
All right. Take care, Jeff.
See you later.
Thanks. All right. Break time, and then when we...
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Soon match the season called...
Friday, we'll be flirting with the 90-degree mark.
News now, here's the forecast for this evening. News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack.
One of the silliest claims made by those who run corporate America is that the paper entity called a corporation must be treated as human beings, entitled to the same constitutional rights that we living, breathing U.S. citizens have, including the human right to freedom of speech. Of course, a corporation is a thing, not a person. And to see how absurd it is for corporate executives to claim that their entity should have democratic rights, just sneak a peek at how they treat the free speech rights of shareholders, the actual people who own the corporations. In theory, shareholders are the ultimate boss of any corporation, supreme over the executives who are the hired hands doing day-to-day management. In practice, however, the relationship is turned on its head, with the executives bossing the owners. The annual shareholder meeting is when owners supposedly get to grill their hirelings and set corporate policy. But these meetings have become a sad farce. For example, at this year's gathering of the shareholders of Weyerhaeuser, the executives imperiously decreed that the owners would no longer be able to go to an open microphone on the floor and ask whatever they wanted. Instead of free speech, questions for the Weyerhaeuser CEO had to be submitted in writing, and only 15 minutes were devoted to answering the owner's questions. Of the 30 questions submitted, management deigned to respond only to 12 of them. And even then, Weyerhaeuser's autocratic executives cut short the 15-minute Q&A period. One rebellious shareholder had the temerity to rise and ask why, and he was summarily ejected from the meeting by a burly security guard, a guard hired by management and paid with the shareholder's own money. It was a crude and rude move that New York Times business columnist Gretchen Morgenson termed Kremlin-esque. This is Jim Hightower saying, why would we extend free speech rights to totalitarian entities that deny the most basic rights to their own owners?
Message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website, www.al.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
All right. Hey, welcome back. 20 minutes before 9 o'clock. We're well. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on. Yo, Jim. Hey.
Good. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. You there?
I'm here.
All right. I think we got it working then.
Good. Sorry about that. I didn't know it was on.
I figured she'd hung up on me. You know, a lot of times it works a little bit better if we go with the handset, even from the audio quality.
Well, probably so. I don't know how.
Trying to remember now.
I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
These people who oppose this bond issue, whatever, and who defended supporting efforts to do the same thing with Social Security.
That one I can't figure out. I oppose it. I have my very own very personal reasons for opposing this bond issue, and it is in line with the Social Security thing. I think in the future, I don't think it's wise to take government monies and go
put them on Wall Street.
Yeah, and you know, or go to Aqueduct and bet on the ponies, or you know, split wheel red, no, black. Yeah, no, not
well,
into it.
Well, I mean, you know, that philosophy has got to stay in it for the long haul. Okay.
Well,
now that's basically the action.
Yeah. If
number two is. You should not put it in the stock market.
Absolutely not.
But if you can do without it, if you can lose it and not miss it,
any shred of ethics.
Merrill Lynch or whomever, they wait up if they're worth. If they
every,
are a man of integrity.
Jim, every prospectus says it. Yeah, do not invest. I fear it will. They
because,
are,
I mean, you're standing there, or anybody saying that.
Well, I think
it will pass.
I think they're happen, but I don't have to like it. We get a lump sum of money up front, and.
More than that now, this money is to be used for state civil servants, which includes state troopers, teachers.
And judges.
And judges. Okay.
And I guess in judges we also include magistrates. And.
Well, let me ask you, why is Mr. Blankenship against
it? To be honest, Jim, I can't figure out that entire dynamic.
That's what I don't understand. You see, you've got these vehement Republicans opposing them.
No. Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. Sure, I understand.
And, you know. I assume he knows what he's talking about.
I try to simplify the issue, Jim.
But nonetheless, Social Security. I mean,
I'm sure there's some nuance of difference. I don't get it. I don't get it because, you know, I'm not antithetical to the stock market. Okay, it's a great place to make some money if you've got some money laying around that you can do without.
Well, it takes money.
Certainly, it does.
And you can't afford to put two. You're a fool.
And yet, at the same time that we're preaching the relative merits of the stock market, we're talking about issuing bonds, and I can't remember what the case was, but years and years and years ago, when Richard Neely was sitting on the Supreme Court of Appeals of West Virginia, wrote an opinion in which he basically said, investing in bonds is silly, except for keeping having ready cash around. It won't keep up with inflation, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, that the only place to make money is in the market. And I remember that very well. So we are selling bonds to people who really have no need of them so that we can make money that we can't afford to lose to invest in the market.
Well, Bob, is this Now let me ask you this.
Are you talking about police retirement?
It's better.
Are you talking about West Virginia specifically?
I'm talking. That's the way it is throughout the state.
Because the older,
the older civil service system with federal system.
Yeah, and the older forms of retirement are more solid and more, more pension-like.
Well, they're not welfare programs. Our friend that Mr. McGee. I mean, if this thing doesn't pass, where are they going to get the money to fund the pensions of these state civil servants?
There are, Jim. It's all. It's
I mean,
already.
Their salaries aren't that good.
No, it's already funded.
How?
By virtue of this 1994 plan that we have been following thus far.
Well,
Jim, it amortizes at higher and higher levels in terms of the percentage of budget. That's true, but the plan is in place. It's not just floating out there amorphously.
Well, all right. Yeah. Well, when is
it's a 30-year plan. It amortizes from 1994. It is funded directly from state revenues.
Which comes from?
Us.
Okay, that means you're...
No, it doesn't. It means that you might have to cut other state agency services, absolutely. But again, part
That's
of the...
That's not acceptable, Bob.
Well, it depends on what you're cutting.
You know damn well what they'll cut.
Yes, I do. But you know what? But you know what, Jim? I also damn well refuse to be threatened.
Well...
And I don't mean by you. I mean by my government.
Well... You know, they're around you every day. I hear you talk about them every night on the radio. Basically, a lot of the stuff.
Well, some of that's you're absolutely right. But the thing is, and I guess I'm hard pressed to really give, but we are at fault. The voters are at fault because we've sat there asleep at the switch and let them worry about mudflap bills and tongue-splitting bills when we should have been marching on that. I was down at the Capitol today, Jim, and I had to, you know, it's Little League All-Star season. And what a beautiful grounds that is. What a beautiful complex it is. It is. It's among them. It's acknowledged one of the most beautiful. It's acknowledged to be that. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Okay.
And, you know, the little almost tame squirrels running around and, you know, my children, just magnificent outward symbol of what we want our government to be here.
Go to Washington, D.C. You'll be even more.
I know, and that's what I'm getting at. But look inside at the tawdry, miserable, cancerous thing that it is.
Is this new, Bob?
I don't know that it's necessarily new, but sometimes it comes home to you.
I understand that, but that was basic.
You know, these poisonous punks that sit in our legislature are at fault for the reason we're having this conversation or having this debate. And it is their failure to attend to the tiller that results in us having to make these monumental decisions.
Well, now my question to you is this. This is basic, right?
To a certain extent.
What has happened to the money that was, they paid a certain portion of it. What has happened to the money?
Well, they would tell, if you ask state government and the bean counters and number crunchers, they would tell you that the money that the people have paid in is there. What is lacking is the state's contribution.
Well,
it was never put there until 1994 when the fix was put through. And we are dealing with back interest and present obligations, monies that we have to pay out on an annual basis.
Now,
doesn't revenues.
This go back to Caperton's?
Caperton was the one who looked up and said, we are doggone well going to fix this.
Yeah, he fixed it all right.
Well, no, I mean, the fix... no,
he
it's...
fixed it.
There was an attempt made where no attempt had been made before. We had God knows how many years of Arch Moore. There's the name you need to remember, Jim.
Well, I remember it.
Arch Moore was the one who sat and fiddled while Rome burned.
I'm sure he had his role to play in this as well. They don't make a very high salary to begin with.
No. The promise must be honored.
And a benefits package. That's part of the give and take of the situation, because they can certainly make a lot,
sure,
obviously. And they have elected civil servants or police officers. They just promised them, and obviously somebody has done something with that retirement system.
And that would be the answer that you get if you ask the question. They would tell you that money, individual contributions, are there.
Where? General fund?
No, that they're fenced off.
Well, then
because of what the state's obligation is.
To
the retirees.
But if it's already there, why do we need
No. Some of it's not already there. Obviously, judges, troopers, and teachers retire every day, and they're getting their pensions, right?
They do, and in many.
There's absolutely. But what I'm getting at here, you know, if I put in one and you put in, and if I'm me and you're government, and I put in one and you match three, just for a number to play with, all those ones are there. It's the promised threes that we're not.
Well, obviously, then somebody is made off.
Well, I think that's obvious.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to berate the obvious. Or
I mean, that's why they sat down and came up with this amortization plan in 1994. Because it was, I mean, there was a looming bankruptcy crisis.
Well, there's something else, man. If there's or hate or arrest from the people, it's all right.
That is the question to which I cannot come up with a satisfactory answer. Part of the game is, in fact, to invest it in the market. They think that this is a money-making scheme. This is a sucker. I mean, Jim, that I live and die by facts and cold, hard evidence, that kind of thing.
I know you do, yeah.
This is one time in the history of this show I will tell you that
you don't know.
I don't know, but I've got a bad gut feeling about it.
Which is?
That there's something rotten in the state of Denmark. There is something dirty about this. This is a legislature that gave a tax break to the insurance industry so that they could turn around and give us $8 a month on our premiums, okay?
Yeah, remember that.
It was a con. It was a con, and there is something in this that is a con. I try to live. I tell my kids, you know, W.C. Fields' three fundamental rules, and the first one is you cannot cheat an honest man.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of truth in that. Because an honest man doesn't think he's going to get something for nothing, and there is about a boatload of something for nothing promised in this bond scheme.
Yeah, it does seem like there is something.
I do.
The first one is the check is in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two,
we won't say.
But, I mean, you know, it does seem. I'm afraid that they bring this thing.
Saturday.
What is this?
It's Saturday. What? Enlightened self-interest.
Enlightened self-interest.
I know. But who do I get to come after when the market tanks? We fail to remember, Jim, that the past five year performance of our equities funds, our stock market funds,
mm-hmm.
has performed at what, 4.8%, and we're positing this whole Ponzi scheme on 7.5%.
You mean they think that it'll?
Yeah.
Well, that's I can understand your reason for being concerned. That's the reason they need this additional money to solve.
Yeah, and I'm supposed to look at my kid and say, well, my generation screwed up and maybe ran off with the collection plate. Who knows? But tell you what, I'm going to hang it on you, you darling little 9-year-old.
Your kid will probably in all likelihood be working, so that's a very real possibility.
Sure, but there's somebody that's going to be working to pay this thing off in 30
years. Something is rotten in the state of Denmark. And
well, the other thing I don't understand, Jim, is why the governor wants to be the second Manchin to lose his shirt in the stock market.
Oh, well, I don't think he is.
No, he's not.
And, of course, that is.
This whole thing is getting ugly. And
it is.
I can't tell you why Blankenstein is against it. I got a pretty good idea why Joe is for it.
All right.
I might tend to concur with Jeff. I think it probably does have something to do with coal severance tax revenues.
Okay.
Because I think Blankenstein is afraid. Yeah, here it is, Jim. Blankenstein is afraid that if the market tanks and we've got to service this debt,
mm-hmm.
that the fatted calf we are going to look to is Massey and the rest of that outfit.
It's certainly bright, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, let the last curse be out of Pharaoh's mouth. Jim, we gotta hit the break.
Hey, you mean you can't cut me some slack like you did, Jeff?
Not for ABC News.
Okay, buddy.
Later, man.
Bye.
See ya. All right, we'll be back after the break. Your phone calls are all 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967.
Get on.
If you wait to get help, time lost is brain lost.
Maybe it's a loved one slurring their speech or dizzy.
Call 911 and get medical help quickly.
There are even more symptoms that I did not mention.
So call or hit the web for information and prevention.
Blacks have a higher occurrence. Do you want to know more?
Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org.
High blood pressure, diabetes, and obesity
all make the risk of a stroke more likely.
But remember, if it happens, do not delay.
Or disability might be the price you pay.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. 7 after 9. This is Head On for a Tuesday night. I'm Bob Kincaid. Well, we seem to have a good discussion going here. I'll get to the story. Trish is with us. Hey, Trish, you're Head On. Hey, Trish.
Hello, Bob. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I don't know because I don't hear it on my end. I'll have to call into one of these shows one of these evenings and figure out what's going on.
I thought you were going to stay till the end of the month.
I am going to stay till the end of the month.
Oh, well, it's up to me. Didn't it was your last night?
No.
No,
okay. It's June 30th.
So when is your last night?
A week from Thursday.
I'm off for the bond. That is my no vote.
Okay.
Of course, I've seen a lot of issues.
Sure.
And my vote for the Social Security stock market, that was a no vote also.
Right.
It's
just too risky to do with the lifeblood of the body.
Well, you know, we'll still have the old debt to pay, right?
Right.
Plus, we will be taking on new debt, right?
This is, it has been defined by...
So since we know that the interest rate's going to go up, that means we will pay a lot more money on the debt. It's almost like borrowing from Paul to...
Well, it that's exactly what
Except
it is, Greg.
Except we're going to have three times more to pay back to Paul and Peter.
I think you're right. And then if we approve this on June 25th, heaven only knows what the interest rates are going to be when they get around to issue.
What is the name of that program that's on the radio? Is it Blooming something or other? They deal with nothing but the stock market all the time.
Bloomberg,
okay. Anyway, I heard them about 3 weeks ago, and they were on. They were talking about our bond market, that they looked for the next bubble to occur in the bond market, because our long-term bonds and our short-term all going to become due at the same. That was going to occur, and that could be the next bubble.
That's frightening.
Yeah, and
people again,
like Bloomberg saying that, you have to absolutely set up and take a hard, hard look. Absolutely.
30-year T-bills. Who holds a boatload of that debt?
Governments, mostly.
Yeah, the Chinese.
Well, and your boat owns trillions of dollars of those bonds they're holding. And now
sure
Asia and China.
Right.
Lots of companies now own those bonds. Saudi Arabia.
It barely made it. Well, it rippled in the news, Trish. But the Chinese money publicly that they are getting very...
I heard the Chinese government myself on my shortwave radio. I picked it up out of Europe. And they said they could break our market down at any time. They could collapse our stock market.
They're not kidding. They
and they very well could.
You know, the Chinese... Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I didn't think that.
And they're bosom pals. And yet the fact of the matter is, while we have managed to demonize all manner of debt that has been generated by this administration...
I've never seen
debt.
Anything like it. You know, it used to be Republicans kind of said, you know, we are conservatives and we believe in a balanced budget. And I tell you, they are spending like drunk sailors. I've never seen anything like it.
And the thing is...
Never have
they're not
ever
even,
in the history of this country has president ever spent like this.
And good for us.
No, they're not.
It's like what Scott Vogel said at the top of the show. What could West Virginia do one day's worth of the money from the Iraq? We could...
Well, I about fell through the floor when I heard him say it was Iraqis that flew airplanes in the building. And I think, I don't care if you're a Republican, an independent, a liberal, a Democrat, Republican, a libertarian, whatever you are, nobody should ever believe that was Iraqis that flew those airplanes in the buildings. They were Saudi citizens.
Absolutely.
It was not Iraqi citizens.
But we know from the numbers how millions of Americans are out there, Trish, think that Saddam had something to do with 9/11.
Well, but he didn't.
No.
Is a colonel that's got out a book, and I've got it written down somewhere. I picked it up one evening when when I heard the colonel on, I think he was in Chicago, and he was talking to Bill Bidding. You know, and it was either him or it was the one that comes out of Atlanta. What is his name?
Bortz.
One or the other. And he said, how come you're not, how come Fox don't let you on there? You used to be on there all day. Well, he said, it's like the Republicans have kind of shunned me. But anyway, it was, he went on telling about the Iraqis that was involved in it and those that was in the House of Saud. And all that information was because of the head of the Al-Qaeda leader that they picked up in Pakistan and took into Iraq. And the Saudis, well, he told the Pakistani government, told the Afghan government, don't give me, it was in Afghanistan, they told
right.
Pakistan. And don't give me to the Saudi government, said I'd rather be in the hands of the Americans. Whatever they want to know if they don't turn me over to the Saudi. They gave phone numbers of three of the prince that in the Kingdom of Saud. And what he did is he gave cell phone numbers. He didn't know their names, just was contacting by cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, one of them was also the head of the army of the Pakistan government. All four of those individuals met their death after the White House notified the Saudis that their prince, not the princesses, but the prince, the government was involved. And in his book, he names who they were. And what it was, they kept going back and he'd give them more Al-Qaeda individuals. Anyway, he names who the Al-Qaeda individual is and how the whole information come about. Now, this is a conservative Republican that wrote this book. And about how one of them was found out in the desert with his nice car still running with a nice air conditioner. And the Saudis said, well, I guess he must have died of heat. The other one took a bad stomach pain and he went to the hospital. And they said, well, he must have died of a heart attack.
Yeah.
Third one got his people into his family in plane, and as they was taken off the Saudi soil, their airplane blew up.
Yeah, we have not yet decided whether or not he was. We're getting kind of good at that, Trish. Always good to hear from you. And
where are you going? Are you still going to stay around here? Or?
Oh, I live. Yeah, I mean, my home is here.
Okay, do you think you're going to have another show?
I'm going to work on it. There are
okay.
All
I just thought I would mention it to you about Bloomberg. That really scares me when we talk about going into debt, and I was really surprised to hear what our governor had to say to Blankenship.
This is just getting.
Well, you know, Matthew would never have to stand good for trying to, you know, you just lay off all those miners and he and just go across the state somewhere else. Quit staying here and pay that bond off.
Well, you know, that's how the boom and bust. Thanks, Trish.
Bye.
Take care. And quick break, and then back to the phones again.
This weekend, two locations, Raleigh County Armory and the Bluefield Armory. It's the new sale of the century. Sony, JVC, Kenwood, Alpine, Fosgate, Audubon, Clarion, Rockwood, and more. Home stereos, car stereos, CD players, subwoofers, amps, speakers, and more. 70% off. Pioneer 450-watt home theater with powered subwoofers, $69. Magnavox DVD recorder, $119. Rave 256 meg MP3 player with FM tuner, $29. Speakers, $5. In-dash CD players, $29. In-dash MP3s, $59. Car TVs and DVD players, $69. Lotus Bandpass boxes, $59. Massive 1,000-watt amps, $79. Giant 1,000-watt subs, $39. DVD players and VCRs, $19. Doors must open at the Raleigh County Armory and the Bluefield Armory this Friday from 5 to 10 p.m., Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sunday from 11 till 5. Also this weekend, don't miss the giant computer sale. PlayStation 2 and Xbox games, just $12. Thousands of software titles, just $5. Tons of cell phone accessories for $5. Computers, $99. Laptops, $199. Water printers, $29. DVD writers, $59. Television $3, children 12 and under free.
It's easy for us to say why Eastern Concrete should be your number one call when you need concrete, but we thought you might appreciate hearing what our customers have to say about us. Customers like James Sampson
are very dependable, courteous drivers, and all of their drivers are well experienced and know exactly what they're doing. They're competitively priced and very reliable.
And Jim Pierce of Concrete
I primarily use concrete for Texas concrete bars, impressions. Make it look like stone, brick, slate, tile. We dye our concrete integrally, so it requires a 4,000 PSI of high-strength mixed concrete. So Eastern Concrete's always been real good for us to get me concrete when I need it, get me the mixed design I want. Whenever I call, they're there for me.
At Eastern Concrete, we've built our business on service. We do what we say, when we say we'll do it. We never bump your order if a larger order comes in. We happily deliver where others don't, and on Saturdays, too. So when you call, Eastern Pours, 252-2424.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. 19 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock. Paul.
Paul.
You there, Paul?
Hey, Bob.
There you are.
You and Jim were way off course, bud.
How so?
So you amended the Constitution to do this.
Yes, to permit it to be done. This is not a bond referendum per se. This is a constitutional.
These are irrevocable trust that pension is. Have to have the signature of each individual address and their Social Security number.
The pension as it now stands, it stands as an irrevocable trust, and
that's right.
That's in the nature of most pensions. Once you pay it in,
right, and you got to have these now. Amortization on the sell bond for 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, or 30.
Right, and we're told that these are 30-year bonds.
So you agreed that the amortization paid $350 million a year. 5 years. After the 5 years, it automatically balloons.
Are you telling me that this is an adjustable
rate? Yes, there's no other way. That's the law. And if you amortize 10 years, it's the same thing. It automatically pays at that rate. It's like a whole crooked deal, bud. You remember the paper I gave you and Dr. Phil?
Sure.
President signed this. Labor Department. They went over into the archives. Nobody's seen it. Nobody discussed it. These are rolling their pensions. They have to go on and a new tax exempt until you take your retirement. Then the tax is going to be 50 to 85.
Well, that's one of the things that has been bothering me, Paul, is that this is ostensibly to shore up this pension fund, but there is already a plan in place that is paying that debt as we speak.
Yeah, that's on the 125 cafeteria plan. Caperton screwed them all. Legislature accepted the bill, what the government put down, of the 1980s law.
But this doesn't fix any of that.
No.
It makes it worse.
It's already what we're going after right now, to change this, to get this pension. See, these teachers who signed those papers in 1991, January and March, if they didn't want to go on that 125-5 cafeteria plan, they had to sign the paper that was in that packet. I've got it all. And it was Sally Richardson that made the grievance. She screwed the thing up and had papers that told the teachers when they struck back in 90. You remember that?
Yes,
I do. Said, rather than a raise, I'm going to give you a better retirement. And that's when he got them. So they rolled them out. If they didn't sign that paper, and Dr. Bill was one of them, they didn't sign that to stay out of it. They were automatically put into the one I planned. And they're losing money on the market ever since they've been into it. So they didn't change the law until 96. It went into effect in 97. Called irrevocable pension.
Well, wait a second, Paul. Clear something up for me. I'm sitting here picking my memory. Which fund was it that A. James Manchin lost his shirt on?
That was an investment through the Secretary of State. And
they had to engage in litigation.
Right, right. And he could have been impeached right off. But you have to remember the jokers that were tied to this. One of them was a lawyer running for governor the last time. He lost big time in the Keystone Bank.
Who was that, Lees? Or?
Yeah, he lost $780,000.
Well,
I've got all these laws, Bob. I've got the agreement they made with the Secretary of the Treasury when they done this in 1991. And they had a grace period there for 3 months. I spoke at the Bradley School. I had Sally Richards and Bob Kiss both there at the same time. Every teacher off on it that day that they didn't want that place to them what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they rolled up and changed the law in 89, rolled the rest of these over. And then what I showed you, what I got for you, all of the archives, there it is. It comes under the 29th Congressional Federal Record, 2550. And in the law, it's section 650-C.
Well, the problem, Paul, as I see it, the horse is out of the barn.
Yep.
And the barn is burning down.
It's fast, bud.
So, I mean, to a certain extent, are we telling people that it doesn't matter what they do Saturday?
Yeah, that's what you're doing. But you know what the debt is on the teacher's retirement alone?
No.
They haven't put a penny into it. The legislature paid it out of the general fund every year. It's $9.2 billion they owe them.
Yeah, it's being served. I understand it's being serviced out of the general fund, Paul.
Yeah.
The question is, does it matter what we do Saturday?
Yes, vote against it. Because remember I told you what, 2 years ago, the president signed the bill in 2000, and the state had to immediately go and get and run Medicaid. That's a $8 million contract for 4 years. I told them it was coming down 6 2/3% every year. It's 13 more years now. And this year it was $156 million we had to make up. You just think what it's going to be next year. They can't do this. You're going to have that big debt he's been talking about. You're going to have it anyway. You're going to have to make up all this Medicare if you're going to let take care of the poor.
Yeah, and well, no, see, there's your big if, Paul. Mm-hmm. We're going to let the poor go hang. I read. Listen, Paul. I read that newspaper article from Sunday's Beckley paper.
Yeah.
I read it.
But did you?
I heard what our governor thinks of the poor.
Yeah. Now you remember this thing, the agencies of the state. I've still got the paper printing. If you sign on for the drug bill, you're automatically rolled out of Medicare into Advantage, which is the welfare program. You're out of the insurance part. And those cards are no good anymore after 2006, January the 1st. You got to pick an HMO to go on.
Yeah, once the Medicare prescription.
Yeah, this is the reason I wanted to come on your show, Paul, if I take you right through. I mean, it's really laid out where it's simple. But in 98, this other thing went into effect on this 125. What people don't understand, when you change this and sell these bonds, you're taking them out of the pension. That's a big fund. And you're putting it on the stock market. These people will no longer be in the pension. You have to corpus. Corpus means your pension is dead. You're now on a 125 tip. You're no longer covered by the pension guarantee.
The tanks, you're done.
You're done.
Yep.
And the state's not responsible.
Well, again, okay, so we vote against it Saturday.
Yep.
What gets protected if we vote against it Saturday?
That pension gets protected. The state has to come up with the money.
Well, see, that's the thing I keep thinking about. This is a public obligation.
Yeah.
This is my obligation, your obligation, that we have given in exchange for the service of the state troopers and of the judges.
We done paid this once, Bob. Why should we pay it again? Are you ready for me to come home, bud?
Well, I don't have that much time left, Paul. I'm sort of walking wounded at this point.
I know what happened to you, bud.
Well, I appreciate it.
I'm going to stick it to him from right on. This governor wouldn't let his man talk to me. Me to explain the law to him. Even now the president has violated the Constitution. Well, it's federal statute law. This Congress is about as crooked as it comes. You've got the law in your hand. I laid it there.
Yes, sir.
You know he's got to have that signature.
Well, we've got some changes to make in 2006. Everybody understands they've got changes to make.
You know what the debt is on Social Security and Medicare now?
I hesitate to guess.
$33 trillion.
That's what I figured.
$33 trillion. He's done run up a debt almost $8 trillion.
I know. It makes your head. Got to take our break, Paul. Thanks a lot. Always good to hear from you.
You're welcome, bud.
Take it easy now.
Get on.
Good evening, this is Carl Nometra, says he'll challenge Robert
Bruce Strauss with today's Garden Minutes. Not only are they invasive, but more importantly, they steal nutrients from your garden. The good news is, you can have a weed-free garden if you start now. One of the most effective ways to get rid of weeds is to prevent them from coming up in the first place. Pre-emergent will help. Pre-emergent weed controls, or weed preventers, work by keeping weed seeds from germinating. Pre-emergent on the soil and water in. For double protection, put a layer of mulch on top. Airborne weed seeds that land on. But weeds have a way of finding a home, like in the cracks and crevices. If you have paver stones, chances are you'll have to pull them up. But weeds have very long feet deep. Unless you get all the root, they grow right back. So use an all-purpose weed killer designed to last for several new weeds from growing. Just make sure to follow the directions closely. Fewer weeds to control, you'll have more time to enjoy your yard. If you're looking for that finishing touch where the cook's great when you put it down, but is guaranteed.
From the National Institutes of Health, this is O. Hatfield Clinical Research Center.
I know you're in there, yo, man. Yo, Kenny, we got school. Kenny, come on. Don't make me break. Stop lending you money when you're 50. Bye. That's it. Come on, y'all.
Who do we want?
Kenny!
When do we want him?
Yeah!
Shouting already. What do you think you're doing? helping you, that's what.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage. Okay.
And get in a hurry, either. Let's do go back to Jeff real quick. Hey, Jeff, you're head on. Hey, Jeff.
Stock market is full three. The security money we're not paying interest on. Here, how Paul's paying Social Security and at the 96% return rate. Take it away from these people now, yeah? Some of the money would be in bonds. Some of it you would make a sure 4% in. Have money for 25 years at 4% in less than 25 years, double.
Okay, let's back up for a minute, Jeff.
A lot of info.
No. Well, I mean, you're predicating the long range ability of the market. I'm not going to take issue with it. I mean, what happened to the person in November of 1929? They weren't pulling 3.5%, and it's not the long term to me. It's the fact that if you privatize Social Security and you put that money in there, and then bang. When the last of the baby boomers, of whom I am one, starts wanting their money back, massive sell-offs in the market tend to make the market go.
Well, they do tend, but see, you have to realize.
And God knows if there's a crash, Jeff.
In the market, for every seller, every willing seller, faith in a stock, there's a person out there faithful in that same stock. Safeguards and safety mechanisms in our stock market.
Look
at 29, they just let them sell it till it was nothing. Now,
margin selling had a lot to do with 99 completely.
Now, if the market loses a whole, automatically shut it down and we stop and we take
but,
it something happens.
But the losses, but the losses of the Jeff, the losses have already been taken by someone. I think that's the fundamental difference between your approach and mine, is that I don't want anyone to suffer. I don't want anyone. The horror of suffering. If anyone suffers it, it's still a wrong. But wait. I want to go back to the bond business. Well, let me back up. Do you buy into the idea that the reason Don is
that could have something to do with it? Yeah, he's got a lot of money. They're making a lot of money. Very well be that.
I'll tell you the problem I've got with it on this is that he has used the same fact. He thinks that because. Well, he does not have going for him right, and yet he is using the same tactics. He's using the irritating push polls, you know, the automated telephone calls.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he realizes it or not, but that puts.
Yeah, you got to be careful. Like calling this person that.
Push polling right now, and he at critical part of the victory of his boy because I even suggested to one of our elected representatives, if this stuff's going to go on with our, at least make them give us a number where we can call them in. And I got, wow, wish I'd thought of that.
Can I say one other little thing, and then I'll get, according to Joe Man.
And we're going to have those revenues by virtue of the fact paradise thing.
If what he says is true, see, like $350 million now, they end up in 30 years at 720 inflation rate, people's incomes, that seems to be the.
That's the number everybody plays with.
Have that in your bank account, and you put it in a 3% 30 years. Do you know how much that $350 million is?
Yeah, I don't.
Right about 700, 769. In the 50s, another 1.5. There's 30 years. 300 and some million plus 350 is about 700 million.
I do.
The thing going up to 724. If our economy grows the way it's supposed, that's going to be in 2034 dollars. $700 million is going to be the same as $350
today. It's the same money, and the other.
I know about that, but I've been on this for 2 weeks.
I know
that's
you have.
All I've been talking about.
I know.
I'm into this.
I kind of hate to see you marry some heartbreak with it because I don't want it to.
It wasn't until after November 2nd that I, you know.
I know, but the sad thing is, and maybe this would beat back a bond issue. There needs to be.
We haven't had Joe Manchin really lay out a plan, two plans. One, what if this thing gets off on the wrong foot and starts losing? Because if we borrowed this money 5 years ago,
we'd be in the hole.
$500 million in the hole. Date of passage on, it don't make the same.
Haven't seen
nothing fixed.
And
it's the nose under the tent, doesn't it?
Sure it does. But the thing is, we're not putting the nose under the tent. This thing's going to get the hump under.
You've got a camel sitting there beside you, and he's got your remote eating your popcorn.
And he spits, you know, and he doesn't smell good. But the highest, I mean, according to that AP Wire story from the highest per capita debt in this country is not the capita debt we're going to have if we pass this bond issue.
Yeah, if this passes, we'll be like
$3,000 a year for West Virginians in the cradle to West.
My mom said it was $11,000.
Well, if you figure two right,
one house might have one guy, and the next one has every house is $11K.
And you know, I won't let my family go into that kind of debt.
No, I mean, did you catch the first 30 minutes of Jerry Doyle?
No.
It was blistering. He come in there. He was talking about the 33 trillion, 4 times more than the 8. He said, look, this isn't a Democrat or Republican. They're sending these guys back down there, Washington, over and over, nothing. They ride around on the 4th of July.
Oh, that part I heard. And whose fault is it, Jeff?
It's ours.
You know, I hate all these. How many times, you listen to all the shows, how many times did you hear people during the election cycle say, I hate these negative ads? And I said one night, by God, if you hate them, make sure that these candidates understand that they vote.
Well, I think that any one position, I think 3 to 4 terms, especially a senator, but I mean like a delegate or a representative.
But see, that's a punt, Jeff. That's a punt.
But I think,
because if you say that you guessed that you that we as the electorate.
Well, I understand, and I'm not going to say term limit. That was because we got all we got in Washington, 96.
It goes back to the days of the Soviet Union.
And it's both sides.
When the Soviet Union was still in existence, ballot box than it is to replace. There's a lot of things wrong with this.
Say like you being a Democrat doesn't mean that you have to support the Republic or a person like Tom Easterly. But maybe not change the party.
Yeah, God rest him.
He had,
I don't really know that much about him. I just hate for anybody.
He was a Kentucky state senator and a
Florida state. Yeah, he got around.
He's won some elections.
Getting at here though is we do not have the form of government that was envisioned by our friend Frank. But I would like very much for you to have as much voice with.
What about this, Bob? All this pension bond money that was in a way.
Look, I'm disgusted, Jeff. I mean, just incredibly disgusted.
In a way. We have had that spent that money while lots of roads been built, lots of...
Well, how many times have I heard some Republicans say, Jeff, that you...
Bush is a social liberal almost. He might not spend the way you think, but he spends a lot.
Oh, he spends, but the point here is if you're a tax and spend Democrat, as the phrase is used, tax and spend Democrat, who's paying the bills?
We are.
Okay, now, you're a good old-fashioned Bush borrow and spend Republican. Who's paying the bill? No, China.
Oh,
China.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You know, we're if you're a tax and spender, you're in hock for the people. Borrow and spender, you're in hock for the communists. There are days that my eyes roll back in their heads, in my head. I mean, in their sockets. My God, we've hocked America, and we don't even have the jobs to pay off the notes now because we sent them to them too.
American and.
And it's darn near impossible.
Yeah. Charleston, a lot of the guys, you know, the kisses and the Tommy at this time.
Well, no, because the evil day is drawing nigh, and we're going to be in a financial mess, but you cannot, and you can't.
Right. If we borrow this money, the way to look at this, if we borrow all that money, top of the pension bond payment, that plus 350 to 383 million is what we got to cover.
Well, why wasn't I hearing about this this general revenue trouble, bucks out of general revenue to cover to cover a bunch of deadbeat damn coal companies?
Yeah, I was.
Because that general revenue is going to be a little bit handy paying off this debt now, isn't it?
What about the who's Attorney General Darryl McGraw?
Yeah.
Did the $1.5 million settlement with Applied Card?
Right.
Another one of those deals where the company over on the people and the government gets all the money, like the tobacco.
Well, I don't know because Darryl generally can be counted on.
About the money and the people is the one thing, like the tobacco money.
There was a settlement with the states that settled with these companies. A lot of times there are charges.
Yeah, okay.
You know, people are paid for their loss. Get paid back. They get paid. So, you know, don't. Daryl is not a million and a half richer as we... We're out of time, though, Jeff. Have a good evening, all right?
Okay, man.
Take care. All right. The show tonight... I've been here with a video camera capturing my ugly mug. So tonight, or tomorrow night, prayer meeting edition, Wednesday night.
Hey, Agnes!